Good afternoon, St. Louis. FM News Talk 97.1 DGS. It's almost late to my own show.
Yeah.
Out there talking to Farber. We're going to have some music coming up in a few minutes.
You got to play this in your band Saturday when you're out there at Innsbruck.
I've always hated this song. I don't even know who it is. Who is it?
It's Mungo Jerry, a well-known name of the
well,
world of rock
go.
And roll.
There you go.
Yeah, I never knew who
I didn't
that.
Know I hated
Mungo
it
Jerry.
That much.
Come on. I've got his greatest hits.
Have you? Okay.
Their greatest hits.
Trying to be honest here.
His greatest hits.
If you can.
Okay.
To what degree do you truly love weird, terrible music? And to what degree has it just become your thing, like The Closest Cut Above and Close Encounters?
Okay. Thank you for telling me that my Close Encounters show, Saturday night at 7:30, sucks.
You guys have been playing good music.
We had people on Twitter yesterday saying, has it ever occurred to Mark that him going on and on about music that's 40 years old may be as boring to us as Star Wars is to him?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Yeah. So anyway.
He doesn't really care, do you?
Yes.
We know that.
Mungo, like, I like pop music. I've always liked pop music.
Too.
Because
everybody's
I had an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listened to a lot of it. I can hear Mungo Jerry. Today's the first day of summer. I can hear the song. I'm good for another year.
Okay.
But it's just a little.
Today's
a
music little, is by Close.
Yeah, it's a little, so you might want to leave.
We came up with a playlist before the show.
Yep. Rachel and I
don't know if you meant to do it yesterday, Rach, but yesterday's music was totally me. Did you do that on purpose? Is there a file or something?
No, I just like picked the songs.
No, oh, it was great.
Was it all Counting Crows?
Material Issue and Dada.
Oh, yeah. I have a folder of that I made because I know you like it.
Okay. Got it.
And tomorrow's Tony. Just hold on, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Besides REM, I wouldn't know what Tony music is.
He likes Our Lady Peace, and he loves Counting Crows.
Mungo
he likes
Jerry.
90s music, rap music.
He's an REM fan. We know that. Diggs is REM.
People on Twitter also pointed out yesterday that we really missed the opportunity to play the Zoo News theme with all the worm talk because that was absolutely
I
know.
Like, true.
Darn.
Zoo News.
People need to understand that Zoom News is more about a vibe than it is about a set of rules.
Ah, it's a vibe.
So
today I was getting gas at QT and a gentleman who, big fan is at the pump next to me. And so we talked for 5 minutes, you know, just all kinds of things. And then I'm pulling out. And as I'm pulling, you know, through another one, there's a my age lady. And she just goes, eggs.
Awesome.
The eggs. And we came in this morning. We had a meeting this morning. And we have like three giant trays, bins of scrambled eggs. And they just, people lost their minds.
Yeah, people were going nuts.
Oh,
I was worried they were going to have to call the police.
Yeah, it was close to a riot. It was an egg riot.
We had some fruit at lunch today.
Mm. Oh, my God. Yeah, can we get Taliban in here?
Yeah.
I know. Look at Mark. Look how sad he got.
Tony, you missed the lunch of a lifetime.
Yes.
Oh.
You got to quit the news. You got to just come back to hanging out with us
get
all
rid
day.
Of this stupid job.
Yep.
Is he coming?
He's coming.
Yep.
We have a think tank today. And so my son Nick is on and Matt McDonald. And we all went over to lunch.
Guess that one wasn't good enough.
And we took,
he wants his own mic.
We
I
took
didn't see it, sorry.
Andrew with us. And just Andrew, the reason I love Andrew is Andrew. And he just does things that only Andrew would do. So we're at Chris's Pancakes, and we're all ordering, and most of us are getting BLTs and burgers and things like that. And Andrew, who I think we would all agree is the most open to eating just anything, eating multiple pizzas and the whole thing, just orders a fruit bowl. Red flag one. And no one has nursed or marveled at a bowl of fruit like you did. I mean, in the middle of his story, like the story about Nick, he just, in the middle of it, he just stopped and he goes, what is this green stuff?
He couldn't identify half the fruit.
It was
in
mushmelon.
The bowl.
And what is this?
Yeah.
Tony, would you know what this is?
Yeah.
What?
Of course he does.
No, he's lying. He's lying.
Human
he's saying
beings
that so you
know
won't
what
yell
that
at
is.
Him.
He's lying about not knowing melon?
Why
yes.
would you? It's melon.
Okay. He's lying because he knows that if he says that, then
he's lying by knowing what it
really,
is.
Really? He goes, and Andrew's like, well, it's green. It could
why
be
did
an
you
apple.
Order a fruit bowl?
I wanted some fruit. I thought it sounded nice.
You don't even know what it is.
Yes.
It's a hot summer day. It all tastes the same.
It's a hot summer day.
Okay.
Okay. What is this green stuff?
Yeah.
I thought it was
a green apple.
It's melon.
I was hoping it was a green apple, actually.
Yeah.
Apples taste good. This was just...
I think you have some mango in there, too.
You didn't think that was an apple,
a little mango.
Is it mango?
I'm posting a photo of him posing with the fruit bowl on Facebook now, if you want to check it out on the Dave Glover Show Facebook page. It probably will.
Do you like that?
So he's still enjoying it.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that we got a whole bunch more of those?
They brought three giant platters of it.
Yes. It was catered this morning by Chris's.
I just had a pancake before going on the air. I feel terrible.
Your cold pancake that you love so much?
Yep.
Explain again.
I don't know. I just think pancakes are good whenever they've had a chance to sit out for a couple hours.
Pancakes. Pancakes.
We're baby talking.
Hey, I love pancakes.
Pancakes.
I eat pancakes. I like pancakes.
I got distracted by pancakes. What was the rest of it? You like them cold?
Yeah. They're good cold.
I like them cold. I like them
they're
cold.
Great hot. They're better hot, but they're pretty good cold.
They're good either way.
I like them burned on the edges. Like butter burned.
A little crispy. Not too much.
What's your take on syrup? How hot does the syrup have to be?
What, Mark? What?
Everybody give us your hot takes on syrup. And go.
Tony is so mad at Taliban right now.
You must with some syrup talk. Come on.
You must hit upscale joints. My syrup is never warm. It just comes right off the table at IHOP, and it's room temp. But
They'll give you hot syrup there.
Really?
You can request it.
Mention your
name. Could you stop saying everything like you're begging a gimp to do some bad sex thing?
What?
Everything you're saying is so disturbing.
Come on, let's talk. You want to talk syrup?
Don't
give you warm syrup.
They'll heat it up for you.
Let's talk hot syrup, Daddy. Come on.
There you go.
All right.
Well,
time for another segment. Thank you, Andrew. We'll call you if we need you. Enjoy your fruit. Don't let the door hit you.
Want some more? Mark kept spearing my own fruit and taking.
Mark didn't even order anything.
I didn't order anything. No,
he was just there for the conversation.
He would miss, so he would just stab from across the table with this look in his eye, and he would like if my fork was there because I was eating it with a fork because I'm
civilized.
Thank you. He would like smack it out of the way. He would come in with his fork and like. Ting.
My favorite part of this is that he seemed to non-ironically call Tony Colombo a liar because he represented that he knew what melon was.
Yeah. No irony whatsoever. He saw this. He has no clue what this is because...
What are you saying? Really?
Because he grew up in a cave.
No, because who just can identify...
Everyone!
9 out of 10 people. The same amount of people are going to shoot you. Yes.
It looks the same. It tastes the same. And it's all good, but it all looks the same, just slightly different.
Excuse me. I forgot. He claims to be fruit blind.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, whenever you line up a bunch of fruit together...
He can't tell an apple from a banana.
And here's exactly what it is.
On the Lord and my mother, I can't tell you what this is.
Cantaloupe.
No.
The yellow?
Actually, that might be cantaloupe.
On the Lord and your mother, you don't know what it is, but you know that Dave's wrong?
Yeah. Well, once he cut into
because fruit is impossible to know. If any of us claim to know what these fruits are, then we're lying.
What's this carrot-looking fella in there?
Cantaloupe again.
The real orange guy?
Yes, cantaloupe is orange.
Is yellow orange.
Well, and honeydew melon, that's honeydew melon, the green.
What is that?
Honeydew melon, that's its name. Honeydew melon.
I would have just said melon, but.
Yeah, there's different types of melon.
How many different types of melon are there?
Honeydew is kind of like the inferior cantaloupe.
Is that the melon that looks like
excuse
cantaloupe,
me, ma'am,
smaller?
Can you, I need, could you take this back? I ordered fruit.
Yes.
I don't know what this is.
Is that an apple? It could have been a cucumber.
It's clearly all fruit, because like I said, it all looks the same.
Appears to be a carrot in here.
Yes.
I seem to have boogers and paper. Mm. I don't know why.
If you were colorblind, then you'd have no idea. It all looks the exact same.
No, because if you're colorblind, you'd mostly have trouble with between green and red.
So I'm talking like fully colorblind.
Is fully colorblind a thing?
Yeah,
I don't believe so.
I know somebody who's fully colorblind. Colorblind.
That sees no
the world
color
in black
whatsoever.
And white.
Yes.
Everything's black and white.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure colorblind people can eat fruit.
And I'm pretty sure colorblind people just see colors
differently. Yeah.
Google it, Mr. Google.
I don't think it's black and white.
I have a friend who's colorblind, and he sees colors differently.
There are like 9 different kinds of colorblind.
So you see in black and white, and you want fruit, and so you spear it, and you smell it, and you're like, cantaloupe. And then you eat it. I doubt it really slows you down a lot.
Same.
We have 2 likes on the Andrew photo, one of which is my mom.
Oh, great. That's nice. You know, you should go see Rachel's mom.
Easy.
Like now.
Why? What does that
mean? Just go visit her.
Mrs. Rachel's mom, can I ask you a couple questions?
I'll give you a couple bucks.
Do you know they'll heat
drive.
Up the syrup?
That's right.
Susie wants to know like if Andrew is real.
Do you ever have a sweet pea kiki? Mark, you sad because it's the summer solstice?
I am.
Yeah,
I've got that down.
Too.
I've got that down because tomorrow,
too.
It's like a minute of less.
But it's like
daylight.
Second longest day.
Yeah.
I hate it. Yeah.
I get it. I'm not going to try and argue because I feel the same way.
Yeah,
but I mean, now the sun's going down at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I know, but tomorrow it's going to go down at 9:59. Thank you, Tony.
I hate it.
Yep. We're counting out the days to where it's dark at 4:30.
I can't believe it's already
here. I can't
here.
Either. This is insane.
I know. I hate it. I hate it.
I can't believe it either.
I hate it.
Just...
Okay.
Sad show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really brought
I'm
it.
Good, thanks. No, you can... You enjoy your fruit.
Oh, well, that's not what you were saying at the restaurant.
You know what? It shouldn't matter, though. Rapture's today.
Today?
Oh, no kidding.
It was on Drudge.
Ah, yeah. Missed it.
Who predicted it?
We don't have to worry anymore, boys.
Some big megachurch guy, and I actually am dumb enough to read an article on the Rapture's happening today, and it was stuff like, for real, not kidding, well, Billy Graham died 120 days ago, and the 12 tribes of Israel, it's like, okay.
Did he give us a time or suggest any time today?
He didn't narrow it down that much.
Right.
It's just today.
Do you guys remember the May
one?
We
still got a few hours.
The May one that was in like 2012 or 20. I never told you guys this, but I actually was scared of that one. They had me convinced a little bit. I stayed up and was like on a thread on the internet.
Would
like,
you expect to go in the rapture?
Well, like just the end of the world. Just we all blink out of existence. Like I didn't expect, you know, like a rapture situation. Just like a
just because they said like it's gonna be the rapture,
like a leftovers type thing. I just expected like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna be gone. This is it. I'm dead. It was kind of nerve wracking. And then of course, like once it was over, I was like, well, that was kind of stupid.
So if you did die or you were left behind the rapture, would hell on earth just be a bunch of similar looking fruit?
No, because see, I like fruit. It's tasty. It's just the same. It's tasty. It tastes good. Makes you feel good. It's refreshing on a hot
summer. Bananas are the same as strawberries.
Essentially, yeah.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Now I'm just going to be salty all day because of the Mark Close music. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the song. It's just that you...
Summertime blues?
No, I just said there's nothing wrong with this song, but you taint it for me. Just the fact that you're like picking the music. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. What was your first killer of winter pick?
In the summertime, Mungo Jerry.
Okay.
Yeah. You got Farmer.
I mean, in the summertime, that one, right? Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Thank you.
Classic.
See, I'm going to go sit down.
That wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement.
That was good enough.
Dave and Matt are here. King of Pain, Police Tribute. Good to see you guys. How are you?
Great
so,
to see you.
So, Matt, pull the mic up to your mouth here. Name every band you guys have been in.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Well,
we'll see how many you can get, like, 30 seconds.
I mean, no, half hour.
Really?
We can name the ones that we've been in together first.
Okay, well, Kingpin, and then before that it was Deep Six, and then before that, I don't know what it was before that.
Just random gigs here and there.
Yeah, right. He was playing when you were at the top of the...
Mesh and Mesh STL.
Yeah.
Modern Day Zero.
Yeah.
Kingpin in the, you know, Deep Six with Dave. And
King of Pain.
How many would you guys say, like...
Rich Mahogany.
How many Mahogany, musicians are there in St. Louis, Illinois Metropolitan, that have made up the top 20 bands in the last 20 years? Like 20 guys? 30 guys?
Well, maybe.
And you keep moving around like chess pieces?
Well, we were just talking outside. It's a very incestuous... relationship in St. Louis. I mean, you know, there's a lot of cross-pollination.
Absolutely.
I keep waiting for like the next generation, the new guys. Bad. It's just us old guys that keep, you know, recycling ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really true. Haven't kicked us out yet.
And remember back when, so I'm 53, so back in like late 80s, early 90s, and I was in terrible bands, but I mostly went to C bands. And, you know, The Eyes and Suave Octopus and all these guys. If you played in a cover band back in 1988, you were just a douchebag. It was all original. Yeah. And now it's the opposite. It's like if you're in an original band, you're making $25 a night in beer. And things really changed. Now we have Super Jam and Dirt and like all these great cover bands. It's just odd how that happened.
Well, the tribute thing took off because you know exactly what you're getting. So, you know, it's easy for someone to decide, well, do I like that band? Well, what do they do? Well, they do 18 different things. But if you do one band all night, then you know exactly what you're getting. And, you know, there's no guesswork involved. You
so was Monstero the birth of the real tribute band thing in St. Louis,
they
at least?
The first to be super successful, with it, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, they didn't call them tribute bands, really, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's always been like in Vegas, they had tribute bands or impersonators and things like that. But now it's just, it seems to be if you want to be out there and play big venues, you almost have to
what
do
you gotta
that
do.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. So tell me about the genesis of the Police Band.
Well, I've played with these guys for, what, 8 years?
At
like,
least,
we were basically the house band at Cafe O at the Chase. And, you know, we were just burning that place down all the time. And I loved playing with these guys. And then the Super Jam opportunity came up and started doing that. And we would do, I would do both things. We would still do shows. And originally I wanted these guys. And they were way too busy. And then because we played together so much and we had a, you know, chemistry and we gelled well together, and they couldn't do it. They were too busy. And then
plus the guys in Super Jam aren't that good. So, you know, it's
they
struggle.
I had a couple guys from Super Jam in it and it just didn't quite work out. And so then I was like, I'm going to ask them again. And they're like, yeah, we'd love to do it. So I was like, thank God, because harmonies and just these guys play together every weekend now and have for a dozen years now.
And I was saying to Matt that, and I never consider myself in the same building as you guys musician wise, but anytime I've done the Police, it's no matter what you're doing, what musical instrument or vocals, you're just faking, you know? I mean, being a drummer that played along with Stuart Copeland with headphones, and I'm like, I'm killing this!
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh,
well, a lot of it's multi-track, too, and you know, you don't really realize it. It's so subtle, but, you know, there are parts where he's just playing a tom or just the hi-hat. I mean, the hi-hat parts by themselves are unbelievable.
And we all have our different musical evolution, but in 1981... my buddy Scott Smith, whose dad was a dentist, had this kick-ass sound system in his car, and he put in a cassette of Outlandish D'Amour, and, like, my life changed. I mean, I had just, like, you talk about your mind being blown. So I was a Beatles fan and like, you know, like Van Halen, things like that, but the Police doing that stuff was just, I don't even know what's happening right now.
Well, they were so fresh, and they had, you know, they were going with that. The ska thing was a lot bigger in England, but, you know, it's very much inflected by reggae, and I'm a huge reggae and ska fan. And so the ska thing was kind of coming up in the 80s. You had the Specials, English Beat. So they took it to another level. They just made it very accessible.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hooks and the melodies.
Stripped it down and put like a punk spin on it too.
Right. Yeah.
You
know? And it's one of those bands like the Beatles that you, I mean, Sting is Sting, but the Police aren't the Police if you take out Stuart Copeland or Andy. You couldn't take Eric Clapton and put him in. It's just the way that Andy plays guitar is.
Yeah, there's just that flavor. And some of those solos are like, what in the
world? What's he
doing?
It
wouldn't make sense in any other band or any other song. It's just, he is just.
I told Dave last week, it almost sounds like, you know, that Sting and Andy have had an ongoing love hate relationship,
well,
as I've heard.
For sure.
It's almost like some of those solos sound like it was a day that they just got into it, and he came in and just sort of like,
screw you,
played some nasty sloppy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, take that, Sting, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's good, let's keep it.
Yeah, it's like sometimes as a really good guitarist you have to forget what you know to play that stuff, because it just doesn't make any sense, but it just works out so perfectly.
Yeah.
So when and where's the show?
We're at the Duck Room a week from this Saturday on the
30th,
June 30th.
Every musician should get to play the Duck Room.
Absolutely. It's so intimate, you know, and yet there's 350 people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's really tight, and everybody, there's not a bad seat, you know.
Yep. Great sound. And
yeah. I love that place.
So tell us about, how do you pick the set list? Do you do, here's a bunch of early stuff, and then you progress, or how do you do it?
Well, of course, you know, you got to play the hits. Really from there, it's a matter of taste. And usually there's a big fight among the members of what their favorite thing is, of course.
Yeah. Do you each get to pick like a deep cut?
In keeping with the Police attitude, we let Sting pick the songs.
Well, you got to sing them, so.
Right.
Right?
Well, yeah. And of course, I want to put as much horn in there as possible. So I'm doing a lot of the horn stuff from like Ghost of the Machine. And
so what do you want to do today?
We decide we're going to do da-do-do-do.
All right, cool. All right, so once again, it's next Saturday, not tomorrow. No, I'm sorry, not... Yeah, today's Friday,
a
right?
A week from
tomorrow.
Yeah.
At the Duck Room.
Wait, today's Thursday.
Shut up. Today's Thursday?
It's a week and 2 days from now.
Oh, man. This really was Friday to me. Pre-sales, how do you get tickets?
Ticketmaster, go to the Duck Room website. You can look up King of Pain on Facebook. Any of those things will have a link.
Very cool. All right, take it away. Welcome back, guys. DGS. We're talking. Mark and I were out talking to Dave and Matt, Dave Farver, Matt Arano before they came on. Those guys have been in so many great bands.
Oh,
and I just Farber has one of my favorite voices. If you've never seen him in Super Jam, it's ridiculous. And probably 7 years ago, we used to have these big barbecue blowouts over Memorial Day in my neighborhood, and we booked Super Jam, and they played in my cul-de-sac. And so, you know, these guys are buddies of mine, so they show up and Farber's in my house getting a drink, and he's like, "Man, Dave, like my voice is awful tonight, man. It's like it's just terrible. We played last night. I got a bit of a cold, and I'll do my best." And I'm like, "Man, whatever you need to do." And they opened up with like Rush, and I'm like, "F you."
Yeah,
open up with Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, you're hurting big time.
Your voice is hurting so bad.
It's showing off.
Speaking of musicians, Tom, you're a drummer.
Oh yes, I am.
Do you get out there anymore?
Not that much lately, but I still very much enjoy playing a lot. And
yeah.
I'm working on passing the craft on to my young children now. So
good for you.
That's taken on.
Sure, it makes your wife delighted.
Oh, she loves it. Yeah, she's actually very cool about it.
That's good.
Yeah, she's probably used to me and my playing because we've been married over 10 years. So it's.
Oh,
you know,
good
she's
save.
Used to,
ooh, boy, that was close.
Learned something there, close.
Ooh,
that was good.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hit the number.
So,
every
we've been
time.
Married between 10 and 20 years.
Yeah.
Many years of playing, you kind of, I'd hope that you get desensitized at least a little bit from that. But it's loud. I feel like the biggest hypocrite because my 4-year-old will go down on his kit and start banging around. And if I'm not in the mood for it, I'm like, oh my gosh, could you stop? And I don't want to tell him to stop because, it's awesome. But
Tom Thiel's the president of Chesterfield Vincent Deck. Yeah. So I grew up in like a 1,200 square foot house with my mom and dad who were not known for their patience. And somehow from the time I was 13 until I was 18, I would play 6-7 hours a day. And they never said a word.
Wow.
Neighbors never said a word.
Yeah.
I can't, looking back, I'm like, oh my God. I can't believe that.
That's what's so great about electronic kits. Put them down there and you put headphones on them and just, you know, banging on, you know, you don't hear anything except on the headphones.
Except they suck.
They're not very good. But
it's not the same thing.
No, it's definitely not the same.
Over a number of years, I've pieced together a really nice one just purchasing, finding deals on eBay.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's different, though.
Yeah.
Total different feel. Yeah.
So 50 years in business for Chesterfield. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
That's insane.
It is insane.
It's just nuts.
Yeah. It's a lot.
And going back, especially like in any business, it's going to be very, very different. But going back in your business, I bet your business is almost 100% different than it was 10 years ago with decks and all the, and I know we're talking, I used this in one of my lives the other day, that some of the screen room companies, and you had said very charitably, like, nice people, but we build different things. Like, we're building completely different animals here.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. I like to be different. That's part of what makes, I think biz is important for a business to be innovative, but not just for the sake of being innovative, really creating, in our instance, something special, something that may create value, add more value. At the cornerstone of that being quality, it has to be quality. It has to be very, very, it's an outdoor living space. It has to be, have an aesthetic and be workable, livable, serve a purpose and be very cool.
Yeah.
So, it's just the screen rooms we do. There's a lot of things we do differently just because I didn't like the average quality of what a supplier offered. So I said, well, hey, how do we make this better? And over time you find ways to make it better. Vinyl fencing, we manufacture our own vinyl fencing because I felt like we had enough volume to justify the investments and I knew how to pretty quickly make it better and more unique. And the great thing is I can also customize because we have the manufacturing equipment to do that.
I don't know much about real estate. Mark probably knows, he does know more, but I've always heard that you always get money out of like a kitchen or a bath rehab, rarely out of a swimming pool. And I used on my lives the other day for you that I don't know whether you get your money back out of building a deck or anything, but you definitely, I've never heard a person build a deck or gazebo or pergola with a good company, someone who didn't take them, and regret it. I mean, just even if you didn't get your money back out, you love it. You just spent so much of your life on that deck, or like me and my gazebo. It's just, it's what life's about.
It's true. I kind of had an awakening a number of years ago, because I had built a deck. We had built a deck for a friend of ours, and we were doing trick or treating as Halloween. And I stopped by to have a couple drinks with him. He goes, "Tom, I got to tell you, that deck it's changed my life. That is like my man cave. I go out there and I sip on a glass of wine. I smoke cigars out there. You've got to come over and experience this thing." And I'm thinking, wow, isn't that interesting? This guy's talking about how it's like, quote unquote, changed his life. I mean,
I believe
it. Wow. And I trivialize it a bit, because
it's what you do.
I walk in the office every day and see a bunch of decks in our sunroom. So or in our showroom, but it is. It's their lifestyle products.
So you guys are building a new showroom, warehouse.
We're building a new 56,000 square foot warehouse. So we're moving all of our warehousing into that location. And then we're moving all of our production teams together, moving all of our manufacturing into that, what was really mainly housed decks and our sunroom product. And then we're going to redesign our showroom a bit. So we're going to expand it probably, I don't know, add about 1,500 square feet in round numbers to it, and some more office spaces. And really, it's an efficiency play, but also the showroom is going to be a lot of fun, because we're going to show more of the cool stuff that we offer.
How often, because I know you guys know everything, or just know about this stuff, but how often do you have a customer come in who's just drawn something on a napkin, and you're like, that's pretty cool. Like, someone who knows nothing about decks does something really innovative that you guys can then use in the future.
It happens. I mean, people, you know, and I always, the joke around the office sometimes is, oh, thanks to Pinterest. But Pinterest, people have brought things to us, pictures or sketches. Our VP of marketing brought one yesterday and said, hey, can we hang a swing from a pergola? And I'm like, well, yeah, we can do that. and then, crazy enough, I've jumped on our company's Facebook page last night and I saw this deck with a real unique bench that we'd built around it. I'm like, oh my gosh. And that's probably an idea a homeowner had. And I'm like, wow, that is the neatest thing. I need to jump on there, even comment and say, wow, it wasn't a huge deck, but it had a lot of character to it. Yeah. And at the cornerstone of that, and it was trimmed off, even the bases, you used to seeing wood. It was all wrapped in vinyl. It was trimmed off nice. And the guy, the homeowner's the one that posted it, said, oh my gosh, I love my deck. And I said, deck. So I go and look at it and I'm like, wow, that is really unique.
Well, look who we did.
Good idea.
And I'm sure you'd agree with this, that use Chesterfield Fence and Deck, but if you don't, use someone local and good, because you're in a business with a lot of not so good people, a lot of fly by night people, a lot of guys, God love them, in their truck by themselves, no insurance, no bonding, no nothing, who will undercut you, do it a week faster than you, and leave people in a bad way.
Right.
I mean, it just happens.
Absolutely. I call it the race to zero, and that's just my term, but the meaning behind it is, look, there is a cost of doing business. There is an expense to providing great materials, having people that are qualified to perform the work in quality fashion, and then having support staff that provide the service and the customer experience that people want to receive when transacting business, especially when we're working on their home.
Seems like too good of a deal, probably.
Absolutely. It's dangerous,
ChesterfieldFence.com. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You were like ouching to the beat.
Was I? Oh. Can't help it.
What is this?
It's called Hot Summer Night by a band called Night.
Is this all summer theme music? Is that the deal?
Nothing gets by him, does it? Honest to God, sharp as a marble.
Did you figure it out? Because summer was in the name of
every song we've played.
I thought
so
the
far.
Theme was sucks, but didn't realize there was a sub theme to it. Did you guys see that? Not only does it seem impossible, I'm sure it's not the case, but Lisa Marie Presley says that her father's fortune has been dwindled down to $15,000.
How?
What about, didn't Graceland
the
bring
classic,
in like?
The manager.
Okay.
She had a business manager, like Johnny Depp and everyone else. Why would anyone ever have a business manager?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
apparently they're all thieves.
Yeah, apparently all they do is steal your money. They started with like $100 million and it's down to $15,000. She says that's what she has to her name.
When you got down to like, I don't know, $10 million from whatever amount you started, wouldn't you go, wait a
couple of red flags?
Yeah, what's going on here?
I
ain't buying it.
Also, doesn't Graceland is still open.
That's what
right?
That brings in tons of money.
And people still buy Elvis's music.
Absolutely.
And it's still played on the radio, and it's still used in movies and television.
Yeah, here's the thing. You take me down to $15,000. You take me down to negative $15,000. Take me down to a negative million, but give me the Elvis Presley like ownership.
Sure.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good. I can get a pay.
I'll start from scratch right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me Graceland.
I'll start a million in the hole.
I'll be okay.
Yeah. I'm buying that.
I don't understand Tiffany Haddish.
I don't either.
I tried to watch her stand up last night.
Yep.
And honestly, if instead of the Tiffany Haddish special, it had been open mic night at the Funny Bone, it would have been painful. She didn't say what. Look, she's a young African-American woman. I'm a middle-aged white man. I don't expect to understand every one of her references, but I get funny. There are a lot of people out there who they're not my cup of tea, but I get why people like them. She didn't say a single thing that I thought was funny. She would just say something, and no one would laugh, and then she'd go like, girl, and everyone would start clapping.
What was the movie? Girl Trip?
Girl's Trip.
Girl's Trip. Beaner loved it. I mean, she couldn't be much hotter right now. She is red hot.
You know, I don't get Tiffany Haddish either, and they put Girl's Trip on HBO, so I thought to myself, okay, now I'm finally going to get it, because I'll watch this movie, and it'll be so funny. And I got halfway through it. It's just
same
not my
here.
Thing.
Yeah, same here.
I know. I also do not think she's funny. I think that Melissa McCarthy played Suki in Gilmore Girls, and she was like incredible in this role. I think and Bridesmaid, she's great. Mm-hmm. But she just runs this character over and over into the ground of like, hey, I'm a girl, but I'm gross too. Isn't that funny? I just don't think that is hilarious. And that's kind of what I got from
Tiffany
Haddish.
It's like the George Lopez thing. I've never seen him do anything that wasn't, look, I'm Hispanic.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't have any respect for the one-trick ponies like that. Although they're all living in million-dollar mansions and I'm not. So
exactly.
Who's the dumb one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam Sandler. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I am terrible at names and the present culture. And so when you guys were saying Tiffany Haddish, I was like, I don't even know who that is. But I Googled her, and I normally when that happens I Google it and I'm like, oh, okay, I totally recognize that person. I don't think I've ever seen this person in my life. I don't think I've ever seen Tiffany Haddish.
She's not super famous. She's kind of on the rise right now, and a big thing that gained her notoriety was she bought one expensive dress and she went on like Jimmy Fallon or something and told him, yeah, I paid $8,000 for this dress. You're going to see it. And she wore it four times and people are like, that's so relatable, which that's just practical.
Didn't she also talk about she got interviewed and she said she was at a party and somebody bit Beyonce?
Yeah. So if Beyonce says in one of her recent songs that if you want to party with her, you have to sign an NDA, which these people do. But there was apparently an actress who was on drugs and bit her.
Yeah.
And Tiffany Haddish was there and was like, I'm going to beat her up, Beyonce. And she was like, oh, girl, don't worry about it. She's on drugs. She's not even herself. I don't know who the person who bit her, whatever. She's just a part of pop culture right now.
Right.
I don't know if she'll be around in five years or not.
I agree.
I was just reading an article on my phone about a millennial that said in a very millennial kind of way, I'm going to go out and experience all the things that my generation is supposed to have killed and see what all these old people find so fascinating about all these things. So she went golfing. She went diamond shopping. You know, it's like these different things that millennials are supposed to have killed because millennials don't do them.
I had no idea that we killed golf.
I didn't either. I mean, I know it's down somewhat, but I didn't realize it was.
How dare the millennials kill diamonds?
Yes. I love walking, looking for diamonds, so.
Although, I guess, did she enjoy it or did she hate it?
Everything was very ironic humor, but basically saying like, yeah, this needs to die, this needs to die, this needs to die.
All right. Well, I mean, that's kind of exactly what you're saying about Tiffany Haddish to me. Like, obviously, that's not the way all millennials are. That's someone who's a one-trick pony, got someone to pay attention to them, got someone to publish their article. Who cares? I say. I'm going to go buy a diamond.
Yeah, I'll show them.
I'm going to go golf.
Yeah.
I was listening to one of my smart guy podcasts last night. You ever heard of Robert Schock? He's a Egyptologist. He's the one that thinks that the Sphinx is 15 or 20,000 years old as opposed to 5,000 years old. And it's just fascinating because I love listening to really smart people talk about kind of crazy things, as opposed to just like a Paranormal Tuesday. And so his theory is, and it's completely a theory, he has no proof of it, but he believes, and Lynch mentioned this one time, going back to Paranormal Tuesday, and I found it fascinating back then, that he thinks that we have evolved several times. That since we evolved from whatever, mm-hmm. and were basically Homo sapiens, that it's silly to think that we have learned everything in 6,000 years, that we probably did that over and over again.
Okay.
And maybe we didn't get iPhones and 747 jet planes, but we got very high technology and knowledge, and then
everything got wiped out.
Wiped it out.
And then we started all over
again. No kidding.
And we're on the fourth or fifth time right now.
And he was talking about in 9700 BC, there is great evidence of this solar event that we've never had since then, which basically just killed everything. It just fried everything. And that he thinks that that's when the Sphinx was built, mm-hmm. in ways that we can't even comprehend now, how you move these stones. And then here comes this solar event and everyone's gone. And then we start over again. Isn't that interesting to think that we just keep doing this over and over again? Yeah.
Does he think that when we come back, the you said six or seven different times, do we come back and start where we left off, or do we...
No.
No,
we lose ground and start from the beginning all over again.
Like we've already been even more advanced than we are now.
Okay.
Who knows how far advanced. And then wiped out. A couple million years go by. We start over again.
From scratch.
From scratch. Work our
way up. Yep. Nope. We're right back to having our iPhones again.
I don't know the way.
If we lay low for a while and then we log on to the internet.
Everybody's wiped out.
Yep.
There's nothing on the planet except cells.
Then you get out your laptop and
finally
you're
the first sign of life.
And you start from scratch and you work your way up.
And then they.
I don't know how long each one lasted. Maybe one only lasted a year or two.
Finally, the first sentient monkey comes out and goes. Where's my cell phone?
My cell phone.
Did you guys see Tiffany Haddish do
What's
her
on the internet?
That's right.
She
well, there you
was
go.
Great.
I'm just picking up where I left off.
Speaking of sentient monkeys, Coco the gorilla has passed on.
Oh.
The sign language doing. That was creepy. You ever watch any of those?
Yeah.
Was he like, help?
It was a she. Yeah. And
was
she
like, help?
Everybody thinks I'm a guy.
She could pretty much say anything she wanted.
Yeah. That was.
Yeah.
And not unlike Taliban in many ways, she also had a Sweetie Pea kitty.
That's right.
Yeah.
They have a picture of her. Well, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
We should put that right next to Taliban with his...
I think it's, yes.
Sweetie Pea Kiki.
The beanbag.
Someone explain to me Carvana.
What do you want to know?
It's just a...
Mark knows all about it.
It's a giant vending machine.
It's just a vending machine.
I get it, but no one would ever do it.
Somebody's doing it.
They're doing it
all over the country.
Which is dumb.
So you don't get to drive the car.
You go up and it's like, what was it, Tony, 9 stories high? 8 or 9 stories high. They were going to build one out in Chesterfield next to Topgolf. It got axed. They're not going to do it. It's plexiglass. They keep it lit up 24 hours a day. You go and there's like maybe 75 to 100 cars in this giant glass vending machine. Which isn't really a vending machine. They give you a coin. And you go and you put the coin in, and you press A12.
Mm-hmm.
Thing moves around. An elevator goes up, gets a car, brings it down to the ground floor, and then you go test drive it. And then you like it, put it back in the thing, and it goes back
but
in
it
the
it seems
thing.
Like...
Oh, it's stupid to sell,
it's
but
really
it's a gimmick.
Yeah,
it's a
people are
big
just
gimmick.
Going to... I mean, but eventually you have to sell a car.
And it's got to be at a decent price, because you may go...
And then you have to do the whole negotiation,
sure,
and you have to do the financing.
Absolutely. It's purely
I think it's a way
gimmick.
To show that you have a lot of money.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh yeah, I got that car out of the vending machine.
Yeah,
it's like people buy like Jordans out of vending machines too.
Right,
I don't know why you wouldn't want to go to the store and try them on first, but it's just a thing. It's a swag thing.
Yep, and like I said, it was all
close
set.
Nose.
Yeah, I'm in a swag. Was all ready to go out there and out in Chesterfield, and they said nah.
I think it takes a special sort of a-hole to do that because I couldn't. Even if I was interested in that car up there in A12, I wouldn't have the balls
to go get a big coin.
Get a coin, put it in, have them bring it down for me. and then not buy it.
Well, the pressure's on. Yeah, it's like it takes you whatever amount of time to get the car, and you like drive it 5 minutes. No, let me try that one.
430 DGS. Dave Murray joins us at Fox 2. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys.
This is more like it. Today.
Oh, wait till tomorrow.
Oh.
Very nice.
I thought you meant the song. Oh. I thought you meant, I thought you finally had a song you liked.
I'm realizing there are very few good summer songs, I guess.
That would be your opinion.
Yes, it would.
I would disagree.
Twitter's going nuts for these songs.
Thank you.
No, they're not. Twitter. She carped you.
Play Counting Crows.
Good comeback. You're not as tan as you were yesterday. You had like 20 minutes of crazy tan yesterday. Rach thinks you were just cranked up. She thinks it was like
you were cranking.
Oh, yeah, I get cranking. Yeah, I get cranking pretty good.
It's what a stroke looks like in a handsome man.
Well,
he looks great.
He never looked better than right before he died.
Yep.
Speaking of Twitter, you remember your whole thing about Quick Trip moving the cherry and the vanilla? And it was soda. It was like a fountain soda.
Used to be.
And now it's the syrup.
Yes.
Somebody wants to know if you're okay with that. Like, are you okay with the change from a carbonated almost beverage the syrup? Because this person said it screwed up the drinks for them.
I agree. I'm happy because I thought it was going away completely.
Right. But then
it appeared on the ice. I was no longer going to have my Coke Zero cherry.
Right.
So beggars can't be choosers. I'm happy to have the syrup, but I far prefer the old carbonated thing.
Gotcha.
Like Mark Close. What's he always say about the Jews? No. He always says, change is bad.
Change is bad.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
Okay.
Dave, you ever go to a QT?
Can make it a lot thicker.
I've never been to one.
Remember, he's never been to one.
Never been to one.
Do you pump your own gas?
Yes.
Where do you go?
To the BP station right
to
down the street
station. From
the
gas station.
Dave Murray's super famous. He cannot be revealing where he gets his gas.
That'd be a line waiting.
No, it's the BP station.
When is Dave going to get here?
You would really enjoy Quick Trip.
Oh, you'd love Quick Trip.
Quick Trip's pretty
great.
That's
what I'm afraid of, though.
They're so great.
Yeah, you're going to run out of money at Quick Trip. Dave Murray lost his fortune one Coney dog at a time.
Mark, have you ever had a QT pretzel?
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Are you talking about from the actual, like,
from the kitchen?
Yeah, because the other ones you do is like, they used to do the super pretzels.
Yeah, those were okay.
Oh my God, those are brutal.
What do you mean? Yeah.
The super pretzel, the ones that come frozen, and they sell them like at the ballparks.
On a
and
rack.
Then they hang them in that little box, and they go around in circles
for
a week. Mm. Oh, those are brutal.
How's the QT pizza slices?
Chewy.
Have not had it.
They're okay.
Fantastic. For gas station pizza.
Yeah.
Don't you remember when they dropped off like 10 pizzas for us because we talk about them all the time?
I think I was not
eating. You're Atkins or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like their flatbreads. Those are good.
Corn dogs are good on the rollers.
I like their soda.
I pumped gas for a number of years growing up.
At is that a euphemism?
Station, obviously.
I was going to say. But
and
here's that kid again.
I had to put that in there. And I guess because of those years and the people that I worked with, to think that they're also preparing food, I guess there's just a mental block for me just because of the years of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think the people that work in the QT kitchen are probably not separate.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a separate.
Plus, if there's
QT
one,
is extremely clean.
If there's one thing a QT guy's not doing, it's pumping gas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody's pumping gas.
Nobody
in QT.
Pumping gas.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah. I like pumping my own gas.
Me too.
Doesn't bother me.
There's something nice about it.
I like the smell.
I like the smell too.
I love the smell of gas.
Yeah.
Close to making a Mark.
No. I was just going to say that.
You don't like the smell of gas?
Not really, no.
I like the smell of paint.
Yeah.
Someone was painting at Chris's pancakes. Took a big whiff.
Of the person?
Yep. And then I said, you're painting.
Hey, pal. Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's how I smell things.
I like the smell of crack.
Hey, Rach, do you like this cologne?
Love it.
So it's no paint, but
is it still up and down roller coaster weather?
Yeah, it's kind of a neat it's kind of a neat pattern right now. We have this little low pressure system came out of Iowa. It's now in central Missouri and it's moving just about due east. It will come right across St. Louis, work its way over Illinois, but it will take all night and almost all day tomorrow to do that. It's kind of stuck. It's just drifting and spinning around that, much like a little tropical storm. There's waves of rain and some thunderstorms, and that's what we will be in this evening and tonight and a good portion of the day tomorrow. It's not going to be doing it all the time, just like the spokes around a tropical storm. You get these breaks, and then it kind of moves back in again. The big thing tomorrow, 78 for the high temperature. That's the coolest high temperature since May 18th.
That's nuts. That's,
That is nuts.
Love it.
So what's it get down to tonight?
Really good. About 65 tonight. Not a big drop tonight because there'll be a lot of clouds around.
Last night's sunset was amazing. Did you guys check it out?
No, I did not.
It was nothing, and then all of a sudden it was all peachy and yellow. I actually made Phoebe Glover come down out of her room playing Fortnite. And then it's funny, she said, let me take a picture. And she grabbed my phone, and she started doing all these crazy 13-year-old things. Like, she was touching the screen, and lightning bolts were happening.
She was probably making the picture look really cool.
Yeah, really cool.
There was, not last night, two nights ago, probably the brightest, most complete rainbow I've ever seen. It started and ended. You could see the whole thing go up and all the way back down on each side, and it was brilliantly bright.
Dave, what
did
am
you
I?
Did you find the pot of gold?
I didn't. We didn't go. We didn't try to drive to the end.
Do you remember really? I really believed that. Do you remember really believing that as a kid?
Well, and what's funny about rainbows?
I'm a weather guy. No,
it was so. It was in the Target parking lot, which is even better. A Target rainbow is better. This is the best rainbow.
Best rainbow.
So
that's when you know your wish is going to come true.
Yes.
It's a rainbow. They've been around since
years.
The beginning of time.
Since 1700.
Yeah. Like eggs,
along with eggs.
Two, 3 decades at least, and they still stop everybody in their tracks.
It's true. Oh yeah,
and there were people coming out, like the employees were coming out of the store because they were hearing about it, and so everybody's going out to see.
Yeah,
like it's a rainbow, but and everybody's got their cameras up. Yeah. Everybody's taking pictures. Everybody's talking about it. You need to go outside and see the rainbow,
Dave. The last few nights, sun goes down. The western sky, you see the crescent moon and a super crazy bright star down.
Venus.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's Venus, yes. Actually, we're at the last quarter moon now, so the moon's going to be up a lot higher than Venus, but Venus just sparkling in the western sky in the evening.
And is today literally the longest day of the year?
No. It's because the Earth... Speaking of
he
eggs,
talks about, he tells us this every year.
That's right. It's shaped more like an egg than a perfect circle. So there's a little bit of a lag time. But we are in the longest daylight of the year now. But it lasts about 8 days or so. Sunset tonight is 8:29. And I think in a couple of days, it's 8:30. And then we start losing time.
So, okay, explain this to me if you can. Last night at 9:15, I was outside and it was still light. The sun wasn't up, but it's light.
Right.
It seems like in the winter, if the sun goes down at 4:48, it is dark at 4:49.
Right.
I agree with you. I can't explain it.
Okay. Damn.
Mark, that's a closest corner. If
I he's chomping at the bit.
I'll get on it. I'll get on it and get that taken care of.
He'll
for
just
him.
Fake it.
Go right ahead.
Oh, I don't know anything about. What
that's
he just
okay.
said,
that's
but
all right.
We talked earlier, I will be depressed. It's like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving as the days get shorter.
Yeah, I'd like to announce that I will be depressed.
Tomorrow I'm just going to be, pardon
no,
me?
No, he just...
He said 8 days, but...
He said days, it'll stay at 8,
you'll
like 8:30.
You'll be depressed around the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
I was like you until now. Now I've got, now I know I have
new
a week
lease
to enjoy
life.
It.
Our country's birthday, and I will be depressed. Perfectly. Tell me if you think it's a good idea. More and more people, thank you, are taking out loans to go on vacation.
Terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
No, terrible idea.
I'm in.
Of course you are.
They're having an auction. It is a red 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO.
Is this still part of the...
No.
Man, you moved on from the vacation.
He switched pages.
We move quick. Right? This has got nothing
to
do with the vacation.
You
got to
watch the paper movement. The movement.
You almost never move quick.
Oh, no. I carry a lot of, I cover a lot of ground.
And it's got a stack there.
Sure. Absolutely. Right. This, they're thinking this Ferrari will go far. $45 million. Highest price ever paid for a classic car. $45 million.
You think, on to the next story already.
You think
at that.
When you do that, even if you clearly have billions, you think when you do that and all the excitement's over and you get it home and all your friends have seen it, you think you just go like, the hell did I just do?
I just got another
Why
car.
Why did I do that?
Yeah. Or do they even drive it? Do they just sit it like in a museum and not even drive it? Whew. Yeah. Tony?
I'd just go sell it.
No, I'm saying next story, Tony.
Oh, next. Okay.
Starbucks blames health and wellness for sagging Frappuccino sales.
It's health.
Screw
fault.
You.
That's not just
Could Starbucks.
All these healthy people don't want to drink a shake at 7 a.m.
Could Starbucks suck more?
No.
If Starbucks were a person,
yeah,
they would just be that person you've always known sucked, and then they just started sucking all at once. You're like, I knew it.
Next story.
That's it?
He's Jeez. On his he's I'm, on his final
these,
paper.
These are giving you facts that you can take home and talk about at dinner.
I'll give you two
these
minutes.
These are like random thoughts.
Thank you. Indonesian man.
Typically, it's like 28 minutes about water, and you're flying.
He's unpredictable.
I am, if anything.
Okay.
Indonesian man crushed to death by coffin at his mother's funeral.
We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I did that story yesterday.
You did that story yesterday.
No, I did.
Tony did.
Oh. And it
Where was
one
I?
Of you two.
Where was
You're
I?
You're sitting right there. Skip.
Sleeping.
Oh, no. I was.
No.
I bugged out.
No, I wasn't.
Bugged out early.
What's your favorite rapper?
T-Pain?
Yeah. 2 Chainz. Michelle Corey joins us from
Finally
the BBB.
Played a good song.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
Immigration scams. What's this all about?
Okay, so the BBB is now issuing an alert on immigration scams, believe it or not. What this involves is really an offering of a shortcut to obtain a green card, visa, or full citizenship in exchange for money. And in some cases, scammers will call potential victims claiming to be a representative of a government agency. For example, telling the potential victim that they owe back taxes. And so the scammer will threaten the immigrants with deportation unless they make a payment to the caller. And then the other scam we're hearing about is where they call and request personal information such as Social Security number or passport number or other personal private type information to request payment to correct maybe inaccurate government records. And so what happens is oftentimes they are a little afraid. They are not real familiar with U.S. laws, and so they do fall for these scams, and they'll wire money in order to, keep their safety in the country.
It's always consistent.
Yes,
playing on people's hopes and fears. It just never goes away. Yeah, that's absolutely what scammers do. For all things Better Business, BBB.org. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, guys.
Tony, how's the dog doing?
She's doing great.
Let's get her on the phone.
I was, when you have a puppy, you're expecting like the all night crying, and she did that a couple of times the first couple of nights. Hmm. Not any all night thing. She's still not all the way there, like as far as like potty trained, but she's getting pretty good. And
what's James think of her?
Oh my gosh!
Oh, he should ride her around.
He's so funny. He wants to sit on her everywhere she goes.
I'm kind of mad that I haven't seen video.
He'll be laying down. She'll be laying down, and he's so slow. So he'll get above her and start hovering, and then start bending down like he's gonna sit down. You know, just plop the diaper like right on her
nice
rib cage. But she's got plenty of time to like look up and see what's going on and go, okay, well, I'm out of here, and then walks away, and then he just keeps going with the process and then, sits on the floor. Yeah, no, she...
Who likes her most?
He loves her.
Like, is it Maggie's dog? Or?
No, it's probably Christine, because Christine doesn't like the old dog.
Man, sucks to be the old dog.
Boy, I feel sorry for that old dog.
She wanted to,
once Christine Colombo turns on you.
No, but Grace loves the old dog.
Grace loves the old dog, yeah. She was fed up.
Because it's pissy and bitter.
She was fed up with Natty. She was fed up with the old dog and didn't like this is, she's a bad dog. She doesn't listen. She's a terrible walker. I want a dog that I can go walk with in the morning, and I want a dog that listens and that behaves well, and And so she was already sort of out on the old dog, and now she, all our hopes and dreams are wrapped up in now.
You know how much I love Augie, but he's so gross. He just every now and then just pulls something out of his hat. Mm-hmm. So Nick hit a deer last night on his way home from Omaha. And so this morning I get up, and in the sunshine I can see there's some blood and some fur. He definitely hit a deer. And somehow Augie slipped past me. And so I was watering the flowers, and I look over, and he's over there licking it.
Of course
yep.
he is.
Yeah.
Of
course he is.
Yep. Picking up dead rabbits and carrying
would
them around.
Would most dogs lick?
Yeah.
I don't know.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll pick up dead animals and carry them around. Cats do it. They bring mice back
most
in the
dogs
house.
Will eat another animal's feces.
Okay.
So. Ooh.
I'm just saying.
Answered everything.
Do they just do that? Saying.
They walk you've never around seen looking a, for other animals.
Hey. You've never seen a dog? Like, has? Do you guys have a cat?
Seen it. Yeah. No.
Dogs
no,
will eat the litter box
right.
if you give them yes, access.
I have a cat? No.
Oh, yeah. What a question. Sorry. Who am I talking to?
Yeah.
Tony, you love cats, they're right? We talk about this you. All the time.
That's right.
Molly, today I guess I was a little bit salty. And so first thing I do every morning is I go feed her.
Uh-huh.
But even though she sees me walk in, she starts screaming, wait.
Yeah, of course.
And so today, so here's what I do. I open the cage. And I pet her, and she goes, glug, glug, glug. And then I fill up her bowl. Then I take this Timothy hay stuff and throw it up on her little balcony, and she loves mm-hmm. that. So I open it up. I go to get the food. She starts yelling, wait. And I turn around, and I go, I did this. I go, dude! And she just stopped.
Wow.
Like she was shamed.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Sorry for being so high maintenance.
Abusing
Dad.
A rodent.
He's in a bad mood.
Really? You should know
yeah,
better.
I thought he was.
And then every morning.
Now she goes, wait.
Every morning, like not clockwork, I feed her, pet her again. I walk out, and Augie walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like some sort of meeting.
Because they're dating.
That's it. Has Augie been...
eating her poop?
No.
He would love to,
he
I
would, I'm
you.
Sure. Ask Tony.
Ask Rachel.
Has Augie and Molly ever been together outside of her cage?
Yeah, they go on movie
no, what I'm saying...
Get him jeez. On the phone. Let's talk about
he wants
it.
To know if he wants you to put Molly on the floor and see if Augie eats her.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Yes.
No,
this is some zoo
he
news.
He wants you to put Molly on the floor to see if Augie eats her.
No, he doesn't.
That's what
okay.
he wants.
They're
all
cool.
Right. All right, that's
they're
what
fine.
I was
like
they don't. They don't frolic.
Okay.
Molly's more of a run and hider.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got a 120, 10-pound dog.
Wait.
She's probably more comfortable around Augie than the rest of us.
Okay.
Yeah. It's funny. It's not funny, but she loves to be petted. But if you try to pick her up, like all four arms and legs just go straight.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what you're doing here, dude.
Yeah.
Jacob on Twitter has some transcripts from today's show.
Bump.
It says, Dave Murray, these are like random thoughts. Mark Close. Thank you. He says, what does that prove? Why is he so justified? Why was he so justified by Dave's?
Because he identified what you guys couldn't like figure out what it was, and Dave knew.
Thank you.
It was boom. Random.
One of the geniuses that is Mark Close. I've never met anyone who can take the
a
most
victory.
Innocuous comment, grab it, put it in his bag, and walk off.
And claim a
drop
victory.
The mic.
Turn it into a victory.
Boom.
Thank you. Thank you comes right before
thank
boom.
You.
Thank you. And then if it's really big, then it's
like, well, I guess you're not a complete idiot. Okay. Done.
And we all love Dave Murray, but Close will be like, Dave Murray just said that he agreed with me.
It's Dave friggin' Murray.
So
come
put that
on.
In your pipe and
yeah.
smoke it.
What happened to Close Murray Farms?
I don't know.
Have you stopped looking for land since you got your Cadillac stuck in mud? you're
like
not much
Dave.
Of a pioneer.
My wife kind of gave me the stink eye on that.
You don't like Dave Murray's opinions, remember?
No, he's been with me pretty much lately.
He likes him when he agrees with him.
The worms on the sidewalk? You were all... You called him a moron.
I don't believe I called him a moron, but if I
think you had name. I think you called him a name.
Poophead? No. I
think you called him Chubbly Umbums.
If he agrees with me.
I think you called him Bonehead when he said it.
Chucklehead.
Fat ass.
Big head off the TV.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Thursday to you. A few minutes past 5 p.m. Time for the Think Tank with a very special group. Two out of three is a very special group. Mark's here. I'm sorry. You came in
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
And wow.
I know. You're just sitting there with a white mustache. My son Nick is here. How are you?
Hey, all right.
I haven't seen you since this morning.
Yeah.
Matt McDonald, you've been on the show a few times.
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get to that. First of all, we should probably have a moment of silence for Coco the gorilla.
Did you hear about this? No kidding. Yeah.
Coco the sign language gorilla.
46?
46 years old, passed away in his sleep.
Is that old for a gorilla?
That's a great question. Yeah,
it's not young.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coco didn't think so. wait a minute. Man, I got years.
Remember when you were
going to
get the Harambe tattoo?
Oh, yeah.
There's your tattoo. Coco signing to Harambe yes. as Harambe is getting shot and
really?
Falling backwards.
Yeah. Don't tase me, bro.
Have him signing, they shot Harambe. So, first exciting news, you hit a deer last night.
I hit at least one deer last night.
So, tell that story.
So I'm coming back. I went to visit a buddy in Omaha, Nebraska, which is a really cool little city. It's Nebraska. Yeah. So I'm driving back, and I decided to go the back way, like Highway 61, because I just, having gone to Mizzou for 4.5 years, I just couldn't do that 70 drive, you know, that drive. Mm-hmm. Well, I just couldn't bring myself. So I'm going down a back country road, and my mom's car made very brief but very close friends with a deer, and
So you're taking like a right-hand turn.
So I'm actually going left. It
okay.
was a weird one. So
yeah.
I'm coming kind of left. Deer shoots out from the left. And so it only made contact with really the right side of the car.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mm. Yeah, very strange.
How big a deer?
Big enough.
I mean, like a grown-up deer?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a Coco-sized.
And where did he go?
Coco-sized deer.
He just went west.
Flying.
I don't know, yeah.
Didn't get his where are you going? Hey.
Yeah.
Was it like when we hit the owl?
He went to deer purgatory.
Did you just scream the F word like you did when we hit the owl when you were 10?
No, I actually made a pretty distinctive, I'm just like, absolute.
What was that? Yeah. What
like
was that?
Exactly. Exactly.
You're
yeah.
throwing punches.
Yeah.
He probably made the same sound.
Mm. Seriously, no. It was one of those where the deer and I both probably 30 seconds after were finally like, wait a minute, what just happened?
Yeah.
That's a weird, it's a weird deal, man.
It's bizarre.
You're just like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
I did it one time and mine rolled over the front of my hood, got up and kept going.
Like Starsky.
Yeah, pretty much.
I went to bed like at 9:30 last night, woke up about 10:45 and someone had texted me and I can't see well to begin with, but waking up and you're looking and it's from Nick and it just said, hit a deer, but I couldn't see the rest of it. So I'm like madly wiping my eyes. I can put together he's alive because he sent me the text, unless the deer sent it. But I walked outside and snuck up on Nick. He didn't know. He was in the garage. And I'm like, hey. And he jumps again.
I'm all kinds of frazzled. I'm grabbing a beer. I'm just like, I need to go sit in silence and not be in motion or around deer for a while.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying you look like a deer, but it's the most deer-like you've ever looked creeping around that corner.
Here comes the old man. Go back to bed.
Funny. Oh, well. And then I thought, I got back in bed and thought, okay, Nick and I are pretty close. I think he tells me the truth, but there's every chance it wasn't a deer, you know? And
he's one of his friends.
Because that's what I would go with.
Really?
If I ever tell you hit a deer, it was probably a kid. And so I went out this morning, and sure enough, he had borrowed his mom's car to drive to Omaha. It's not covered in blood.
It's not.
Or fur, but
blood free.
There's enough.
Yeah.
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 You hit something furry.
Oh, yeah. So. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's get going. So this all came about because Matt and Nick have known each other for 10 years plus, and I will just sum you up. Nick has been on the show many times, progressive liberal, wouldn't you say?
Roughly.
Yeah. Matt, hard right conservative.
Conservative libertarian. Sorry. Yeah.
And then Mark Close, of course, is like the everyman. He's in the middle, moderate kind of guy.
Got a mustache.
With a mustache. Yeah.
Mustache.
Wilford Brimley.
Wow, first a Pringles guy and
wasn't
now
that what you were going for?
No, I was not, but thank you.
So let's do this. I've never started a think tank like this. Obviously, we're going to talk about the president, all the stuff. Each of you, starting with Mark, give me three words that describe the president.
Realistic. Bombastic.
Orange.
Yeah, there's that. Come back to me. I'll give you two.
Okay.
You think I'm
Matt, get right up on the mic, please.
Capitalist. Over the top. Hyphenated, that's hyphenated. One word. hyphenated, larger than life.
Okay. Nick?
Matt's not wrong. I'm not going to disagree
Matt's
with anything
wrong.
You said
three
there.
Words, I think. We're
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
There you go. No, I think that you and I might be seeing those two hyphenateds in the singular word in different lights, but I totally agree. I think you're spot on.
Spot on.
The past week, we've had two giant stories. One, and this, to me, being in the media, I can't help but notice how the media handles things. And I think anyone who says Fox News is always fair and balanced is stupid, because they obviously have a slant. They have a political slant. At least their opinion people do. It's just dumb to say otherwise. And anyone who says the mainstream media is fair and balanced is even more dumb, because they clearly have a slant. And all you have to do is look at this week. We had two giant stories, one being the Inspector General's report, which was scathing and embarrassing to the FBI and just full of bias against the then candidate Donald Trump. And then you had these separations at the border. And I saw some statistics on it, interestingly enough, on NPR, listening to NPR on my way in. And it was just 95% to 5% on the coverage on the mainstream media. Very little coverage on the IG report, and all just wall-to-wall pictures of crying kids wrapped in tinfoil and just how horrible things were. Mark, as my middle-of-the-road moderate guy, how did this week hit you?
I think the kid deal is sitting at heartstrings, and that's why it's going to get more material, and it's something that everybody can relate to. Hell, Trump's own family kind of, I wouldn't say turned on him, but kind of went against what he was going after. I understand that. I see what's going on. All right, let me a quote from, this is from USA Today.
Where'd you pull that paper out of?
Look at that.
Looked like it hurt.
This was an illegal alien that came in who got separated from his children. And as he says here, we came here to fight for our children, to earn and to teach them how to work. It's not right that they do this. Okay? All right? First question that comes to mind is it right that you enter our country illegally? I know we keep going back to it. Now we can't say illegal alien, and we can't say alien or whatever, immigrant or whatever, but it's like, that's the part that keeps coming back to me. There's ways to get in legally. And again, separating your children, and I'll even take it a step further, and I'll catch hell for this.
If I live
in a third world country, and I'm worried about gangs taking my children, I'm worried about feeding my children, I'm worried about just marauders coming and killing me, or I have a chance of being separated from my child in another country and they're safe, I may take the other country. I'm sorry. I may say, if you can guarantee me that at least my child's being fed, they're safe, and no gangs are going to. As a father, I feel bad that I'm separated from my kid, but my main concern is keeping my child safe. And if that's, and again, it's not long term. I understand that. And now that he's signed this, 20 days from now, this crap starts again.
Yeah,
We've kicked the can down the road, and it's going to start all over again.
Nick, how about you?
I mean, yeah, it's so hard to look past the immigration thing, the keeping kids, in detainment. To me, it obviously does come down to a legal question in a lot of ways of, okay, you did come here illegally. There are going to be consequences to that. But at the same time, I feel like when you make that argument, it's just completely dehumanizing, devaluing everything that these people are. It's making them less than human. And I feel like that's something that's not rare or new for this administration as far as rhetoric goes. And so when something like this kind of happens and nobody's that shocked, people are mad, but nobody's that shocked about it, it's very validating to what.
So besides the obvious,
right,
what's the difference between a mother who shoplifts and has her three little kids with her? She goes away in the squad car and the kids go to DFS, foster care, for some period of time. And someone who crosses the border, not showing up at a port of call seeking asylum,
right,
but crosses the border, gets caught, and now you're going away and you can't be with your kids because you're going to go be prosecuted for a crime.
I think the difference there is that DFS has it's an organization based on child welfare, when at the border, if it's being run through Border Patrol, if it's being run through local police, it's being run through something like that, if we are not putting the same kind of resources that we do for a DFS kid in the States.
So let's say we were. Let's say that it was DFS plus. These kids are getting the royal treatment. Would you feel okay about it? At that point, it's like, okay, well, mom and dad committed a crime. They're going to go to jail and be prosecuted. The kids can't go to jail and be prosecuted, so they're going to go somewhere really nice. Is it the niceness of the facilities that really bothers you?
It's not the niceness of the facilities. Obviously, it bothers you to see kids leaning up against chain link fences, which is just a disgusting, difficult to see image.
If you can do it gut, what percentage of responsibility do you put on the parents who bring the kids and the USA for the kids being separated?
Yeah.
90-10.
90-10 going which way?
To the parents.
Yeah. That's tough. I mean, anybody that finds himself in that situation obviously has not found a better situation where they're coming from.
Right. But they also realize, don't they?
There's
that coming in, they know it's going to, they know they're breaking the law and they're probably going to be arrested. They're detained. I would think even coming from a third world or wherever they're coming from, they've got to be aware of that.
They got to know there's a risk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, and I was reading stuff this morning about people talking about how effective this whole thing is going to be about, you know, as far as preventing illegal immigration.
Right.
That whatever week of disgust the country has in the long term, that's going to go away. People are going to forget about this, but it's still going to deter immigration like that, which is, you know,
I think ultimately that was Trump's goal in the first place. I mean, this has been a policy for decades, and now all of a sudden it's coming into the light because he has tweaked it just enough to make the left irate. It's almost a genius plan on his part that he's done this, and now all of a sudden everybody's in an uproar. We've got a whole week of coverage, so he signs an executive order saying, okay, we're going to stop that for now. But now all of Congress is on notice that they've got to do something.
Mm. Right, let's pick it up right there after the break. Welcome back, guys. DGS Think Tank with my son Nick, my friend Matt, and my other friend Mark Close. So, Matt, at the end of that segment, you used the word genius. That it was, you thought it was genius of Donald Trump to do this, that this has been the law for a very long time, but that he highlighted it, and that both he and Sessions said, we're doing this to deter people coming here, and as a negotiating chip with the left to come to the table and to get comprehensive immigration reform. I feel like it backfired on him. The left is certainly playing it that way, that he had to backtrack and, you know, retreat for the first time, all this kind of stuff. Do you think it was a win?
I think it was a win. I think that's the media playing it as him backtracking. Of course, the liberals and all the Democrats are going to say that he's now lost and, oh, look at how bad what we did to him and made him look stupid here. But I think it's the exact opposite. I think what he's done is he's brought this to the forefront, made it an issue, addressed the issue. And now what they were thinking, the liberals were all thinking is, wow, we've got now something to run in 2018. We can go to the midterms and use this against Trump. Look at how horrible he is to kids. Well, he just took it right back off the table and threw it back in their laps. Look, guys, you've got to do something. And now it's back on them. And now they've got to come to the front and say what they're going to do.
Do you think the non-engaged person, not the stupid person or the lazy person, but the person who's living their life and working their job and taking care of their kids, but they don't listen to 97.1, they don't listen to NPR, and they don't watch Fox, and they don't watch Rachel Maddow, the average sort of unengaged person out there, how do you think they took this week? Do you think they would look at this and say he ran away with his tail between his legs? Or do you think that they would look at it and say, yeah, he won this round?
Well, I think if you talk about the base, I mean, his base is standing up there cheering, way to go, this is awesome, good job. The left, the other side is screaming, oh, he lost, he's horrible, he hates children, hates immigrants. So you've got that little mid-ground of people. And I think what their heartstrings were pulled when you see, and you can't not feel bad when you see
when every living first lady, including Melania and his daughter, said you need to change it. See, that's why I feel like it was a mistake, because it's like Mark said at the top of the show, you can't beat images of kids crying for their mothers. Right. There's nothing is going to counteract that visual for the average person. And then when you say, like, yeah, my daughter and my wife both, and I didn't like it either. So I thought that Trump and Sessions came out too strong with, we're doing this and we're doing it on purpose and we're doing it to make a point. I thought that was the mistake. That if he just did it and said, hey, look, I'm just enforcing the laws, you know?
If I can put in something from my side of this, I've actually, as somebody who consumes mostly moderate to left-leaning stuff, I haven't read anything about high five, look at us, you know, that guy's done, he's tail between his legs. There's none of that. It's just pretty across the board disgust and disappointment and...
So are you an open borders guy? Like, I watched this thing this morning with Fox News. I hate when they go to cafes. You see that thing where they go to like Greasy Spoons. Mm. Oh, I hate that. It's so Cracker Barrel. But then there was an old guy with a Make America Great hat who said things old guys with Make America Great Again hats say. Then there's a kid next to him who led the opposition last night, who looked to be about Nick's age and said, I am an open borders guy. We should not have borders. We're a country built on immigration, and anyone who wants to immigrate here should be able to do it freely, like just walking into Six Flags or something. Do you feel that way?
I mean, I'm closer to that than I am to the other side, obviously, but no, I don't think that we can just open borders on anything. Like,
what would you do? And I know I'm putting you on the spot to do something that even the government can't figure out, but I mean, would you just loosen the filter on who comes in, how they get in, how long it takes?
Yeah, I loosen the filter. I make it easier to get citizenship. I think that that's a really difficult thing to do, especially now. And obviously, because the president is who he is, Congress is what it is. But I also feel like the narrative on illegal immigration has been for so long, oh my God, they're bringing drugs and they're bringing crime. And they're like, I was listening to 97.1 was on my preset in my car when I got in today. And what did he say? One of the guys was saying, like, you know, there are some good people that are coming in just to try and help their family, but they're mostly rabble rousers, and they're people coming in looking to. He literally said rabble rousers. You know,
that's
it's like
97.1,
right? Mm. Exactly.
And I disagree with that. I have no statistics, but my gut is the vast majority come here and work their asses off.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Because there's always going to be the narrative of, oh my God, they're taking our jobs, and I'm far from the first person to called it out on that, but like, when's the last time you went to a restaurant? When's the last time you know, anything, any job that you would look at that and go, ugh, I'm not doing that? Well, guess who is? It's, you know, right, these people working right hard.
Do you think that's a problem? Do you two guys having kids close to Nick's age who need to work, are you bitter that there are undocumented immigrants working those jobs that your kids could have if they need it? Or do you just feel like, yeah, my kids aren't going to be cooking at you know, Denny's, so more power to you.
No, I don't think bitter is the right word. I think the most important thing that I am scared of every day is just I want everybody to be safe. And if the vast majority are good, hard workers, if it's 80, 90%, that's fantastic.
Still a lot of bad ones.
You're talking about 10 million people, and 1 million of them have negatives coming in, drug dealers or sex traffickers, kid traffickers, or simply just people that come in and don't do anything and milk off the government and then get drunk and kill somebody in a drunk driving accident.
Let me ask you about the milk off the government thing. How exactly are they milking off the government if they're here illegally?
If they're here illegally?
If they're here illegally,
so they're not paying any taxes. They're receiving a paycheck. That paycheck goes to their family or wherever else it goes.
Right.
But they're not paying taxes. They're not paying their fair share. They get sick. They go to the hospital to get treated.
Does anyone know what social services they do get?
They don't.
Are we sure about that?
I mean, seriously? the most common form of illegal immigration is somebody coming in with either a false or the social security
fake
number.
Social security
somebody's,
number.
Yeah.
Right.
And when you do it that way, you cannot collect on any benefits and any taxes that are already legally the way that it is for everybody. The taxes that are already taken out of your paycheck, you can't collect on those.
Your paycheck so you are that essentially, you got with a fake social security number.
Yeah.
So you're, okay, first of all, hold on a second. Yeah. So a fake social security number is somebody's.
Usually Tony Colombo's.
Right. Yeah. Tony Colombo. So now Tony Colombo has to go through all the hassle three or four times having a fake social security number, a fake tax return being done. Who's paying for those services? I mean, there's a statistic. What is it? $100 billion a year that illegal immigration costs the country, that cost is something.
Right.
I mean, at the very least, it's just the DFS, DCS, Department of Homeland Security, sorry, DHS, that are on the border rounding people up as they walk across the river and putting them somewhere. There is a cost associated with people coming into the country illegally.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm all for speeding up the legal process. I mean, if it takes 3 years, let's make it 1 year. Let's make it 6 months. How do you vet these people as fast as you possibly can, get some of these IRS people off of our backs, and have them start vetting all these people faster and get it done faster so that they can come into the country. But let's make sure that they're people that are here for good and not MS-13 or something else.
We touched on it yesterday, too. There's, like Dave said, you could walk into any business, especially out on the coast, and you're going to find a ton of illegal people. The problem is there's a lot of movers and shakers, people that put a lot of money into politicians that don't want you looking, because we talked about it yesterday. If you had to hire a legal American citizen to pick tomatoes in California, those guys that own those tomato areas are going to say, it's going to be $10 a pound. These guys are coming in, they're working for $4 a day or whatever it is. If they come in on a green card, and I don't even know how long a green card is good for anymore at this point, but they're in. So as long as you've got those people in power that want those, whether they're doing roofing or whether they're doing lawn work or whatever, you've got to get to that point where they've got to stop hiring those people. And like Dave said yesterday, once they quit hiring those people, they're not going to be coming across the border. There's no reason to come across the border if there's no jobs here. And again, I'm with Matt. I think if we can get it down to a year that they become a legal citizen and we can get tax dollars out of them, because I'm paying tax, and if they're – that's fine.
I would also be fine with literally a second-class citizenship. That's such a dirty thing to say, but let's just say it, that if you want to come from another country and work here and have some sort of quasi-citizenship and earn your citizenship, great.
Yeah. Like other countries.
That's so much better than you sneaking in, living in the shadows, and whatever social services you do get that come straight out of our pockets, even if it's just going to the emergency room in a sanctuary city and not being reported. When we come back, we're going to switch and talk about the IG report right after this. Welcome back, guys. DGS, the think tank, with my son Nick, my friend Matt McDonald, my other friend Mark Close. Let's talk about the IG report, which normally, in a different time in this country, would have been the driest of dry stories for the driest of dry political nerds. But here, it's bombastic. It's Peter Strzok and his mistress, and it's F Trump, and he's an effing moron, and he's not going to be the president because we're going to stop him. And I thought Trey Gowdy, who I would vote to be king of the world right now, just because his head is shaped like a shallot, I thought he was fantastic the way he walked Horowitz down the trail. And Horowitz, one of his findings was, we don't think anyone was politically biased. And to me, Trey Gowdy just cut him in half, because he established factually that all these same operators, it wasn't just Strzok and what's your name, but a dozen or more, that when it came to the Hillary Clinton investigation, whether you personally believe the email thing was just a red herring or she should be in prison, either way, they didn't take it seriously. This is our new president. It's our new queen. We love her. I think Strzok said she should win $100 million to nothing. and it was just a big blow off. And then when it came to Trump, they even said okay, now it's time to get serious. And I get tired of the double standard. I get tired of the flip test. But my Lord, if this had been Obama instead of Trump, it's all we would talk about, and rightfully so. Agreed?
Absolutely agreed. I think as they get through these 500 pages and more stuff comes out, you hear that the FBI was literally editing witness testimony. I mean, there's going to be a lot of bombshells in here. And as it keeps coming out, it's going to get worse and worse. And I think a lot of what's going on in the media right now is kind of, let's push this under the rug because this could be an explosive story.
Nick, do you give this one up? Do you say oh yeah, this was dirty pool all the way around?
Oh, hands in the air. Yeah, that's a rough one. I mean, you know, it's the same thing as failing a test with a 69.8% and then them also finding out that you cheated and still only got that. It's just
very nice. Very nice.
It hurt my feelings at least a little bit.
And your comment too about political, you know, people being political, everybody is politically biased. I don't care who you are. I don't care what side you're on. You can deny it all you want. You're leaning, and now more than ever, you're leaning heavier than you ever have before. Yeah. Whatever your side is,
agreed.
You're more in that direction.
We'd be so much better off just admitting things like that.
Yes.
Doesn't it make you question the intelligence of a lot of these FBI people?
Oh. I mean,
I'm sure that there are thousands of unbelievable FBI agents, but some of this top brass and what they were doing and how they were doing it, man, you've got to be a head full of rocks to try to get away with this stuff.
I am really good friends with Rebecca Wu, who's the communications director at the FBI. And
show us your badge.
Yeah,
and,
okay. God, you beat me too.
How did I not, I how did I so not see that coming?
Come on. We're double teaming.
We get it. You've got cool friends.
But over the years, you know, let's just cut this short. Over the years, we would email or text, and I just assumed FBI agents were reading that. In fact, I'm assuming they're reading, not actively reading everything I sent to Nick, to Rach, to you guys, but they got it if they need it. If you're Peter Strzok, how do you not know
exactly
that saying, don't worry about it, honey, I'll stop him from being president. Yeah.
Just, someone's going to be seeing that.
The biggest thing to me
pick
is
up
just,
eggs, block Trump.
It's just how unimpressive people really are. I expect FBI agents to be better than me. I expect Congress people to be better than me. And then when you meet them, you're like, oh, God, I think they're worse than
yes.
me.
Yes.
What, So in general, the two of you seem, Nick and Matt, sort of diametrically opposed. So far today, no big fireworks. Are you just being nice, or do you feel like you have more common ground than you think when you're in your own private corners?
I don't want to make him like a deer in the headlights. It just... He's had enough.
Oh, wait, it's funny because I hit that deer last night, right?
That's why it was funny. Yeah.
No, I feel like we obviously have more in common. I mean, we've known each other forever, and, you know, we'll get a little snippy here and there, but there's more in the middle than there's not. I do think that there are obviously issues, especially with the political climate now, that people just immediately run to the sharpest object they can find to stick in your face. And look at him. Look what he's doing. He's putting the kids behind the fences. You know, it's the whole thing. And both sides do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
What about this? We, in one of our two or three vodka-fueled fights we've had, Nick, I asked you one time, and now I think it's even more true, that the numbers, the indicators, the economic indicators, you know, GDP and unemployment and across the board, to me, are inarguably great. And if Hillary Clinton had done this, I would be the first to say, I don't know what you did, Hillary, but you killed it. Same for Obama, Woodrow Wilson, doesn't matter. But I remember one time, correct me if I'm wrong, you basically saying, that doesn't make me happy because I don't like this construct that we have in this country. Right. So the success of these numbers don't mollify me.
What you and I value, you know, we look at different statistics for... To confirm our own opinions. And yeah, no, a lot of the GDP stuff, a lot of the numbers like that look good from your side of the fence do not look great to mine. I mean, I look at the tariffs that are being placed on the U.S. in the last couple of weeks as retaliatory, you know, I mean, literally coming down to the point where they are putting tariffs on, who was it? It was on Mitch McConnell's district, on Paul Ryan's Wisconsin connections, and then on Pelosi's San Diego connection. They are literally targeting cities like that to say, hey, you're in charge here. Shape up or ship out. Like, this is not just down to the president. This is down to all of you. And I get that I just kind of went off on a little tangent there. But to me, that's an example of, okay, it might be column X might be going nuts. But as far as all the externalities of that, of the symptoms of what it really means for us.
I mean, how do you argue, though, that African-American unemployment has never been lower? How do you argue that black people have never been better off, at least when it comes to getting a job, than under Trump?
What do you mean? How would I argue that?
I mean, can you argue that? Do you argue that? I think we can make the statement that African-Americans have never been better off employment-wise. You forget about police shooting you in the back when you run away. But as far as getting a job, it's never been easier for an African-American to get a job in America than under Trump.
Thank God I have a paycheck in my pocket when I get shot.
I mean,
no. I seriously, and I like, look, those are not statistics I've looked at. That's not something I can say I've looked at recently. If it's true, fantastic. good, you know, rising tide raises all boats until it doesn't. You know, going back to the tariff thing, a tariff on steel coming out of India. Hey, look at us. We're so strong. We're so powerful. Look how heavy my hammer is. Look what I can do to you. And then when other countries go, I don't think so.
So do you still feel basically that, yeah, things are great, but mostly for Whitey? I mean, like, just in a very ham-fisted way, do you still feel like that's kind of how it is?
I mean, the thing is, like, you're talking to a 23-year-old right now. Like, I could sit here for an hour and list off my grievances. I could, you know, dismantling of the EPA and rejection of global warming is a truth that every other country is accepting. It's stuff like that to me, you can go, look, unemployment, good, taxes rising, whatever, you know, whatever metrics you look at. And I realize I couldn't sound stupider saying this right now. But when you compare those to overall quality of life for all human beings, it's not fantastic. Mm.
Do you think, when you just brought it up, and it's interesting because you're 23, my daughter's 27, Rachel's 26. Do you think as time goes on and you live a life and you have more experience, do you think your thoughts will change, or do you think you'll hang where you're at?
I think thoughts will change, obviously. Okay. I think people change and grow and become different people than who they were, but I also feel like these are pretty, you know, these are not just things that I'm excited about because I'm 23. These are the concepts that I hold dear and clear to myself.
Let's pick that up right after the break. Welcome back, guys. One more segment of the Think Tank with my son Nick, my friend Matt, and Mark Close. So let's follow up with that, because one of the big Mark Close-isms over the years has been, and it's sort of like the cliche that if you're liberal,
yeah, you're a Democrat, and
basically,
when you're young, if you're liberal, if you're, you have no heart,
right?
And if you're old and you're liberal, then
you have no brain.
You have no brain. Right.
And so Mark's always said, sure, Beaner, Nick, whoever is going to be very liberal, and college, you know, indoctrinates you into this very liberal, progressive way of thinking. But let them start getting paychecks and FICA and all this kind of stuff. They'll come around to being pissed off when someone accuses them of being the bad guy because they're making money or investing money, or they build a nice house. But and we've had this discussion before, Nick, where you say, I never less than with my generation, because we don't just believe it because we're 23. We really believe this.
Right. Yeah.
This will follow us through our lives.
Right. This is not, these aren't just things I'm coming home from college and saying to make you mad. This is stuff that I really feel like is my prerogative almost.
Do you feel like in college you got a balanced education?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Enormously balanced.
Yeah. In what way was the Matt McDonald view of the world represented in college?
Jeez. I mean, a couple of my favorite classes, political science, you know, obviously just being out of professionalism, they don't talk about their personal political leanings, but like, you know, you can smell somebody, you know where they're coming from. One of the smartest professors I had in all of college, both economics professors were absolutely genius and really laid it out. And, you know, when you do lay it out in an economic way, and it's just like, look, here's the numbers, here's the graph. Here's your D+. you know, it makes sense. And I absolutely did. You know, I was in the School of Communications and I had classes that were what old white men in MAGA hats wake up shaking in the night because they're afraid their kids are learning that at college. But also it's, you know, you're not, at least what I kind of picked up on is you don't go to college to go like, okay, well, at least I have all these facts now. These facts will change who I am as a human being. But it's all critical thinking and it's all learning how to think and how to question. And I feel like I was given enough of those baseline skills when you come in to go, look, don't believe anything.
Matt, do you remember that from when you were in college? Did you, because I don't remember any of this. Did you feel in any way that it changed your political outlook, or were you just chasing girls and drinking beer and having fun?
Well, thank God there was a whole bunch of that. But I think, yeah, absolutely. I think when you, just like Mark was saying, I think when you're starting off at 21, 23, before you actually hit reality of real life with family and obligations and duties and that sort of thing, you have those feelings. And to this day, you still have those pet projects or pet thoughts that you champion, whether it's the economy or whether it's the environment or whatever it is, and you feel like you want to protect those things, but your obligations and your duties change. And so you have certain obligations you have to meet. So family takes precedence.
Yeah.
And job takes precedence. And some of those other things where you would have been standing out on the street with a sign saying, stop global warming. Now it's like, well, that's really cute that they're doing that down there, but I got to get back to my report because I've got a report to finish. And if I don't do it, I don't get paid.
What about Nick, if I were to make the statement that the USA was so weak under Obama and he cut the military and we were really in trouble there and we were not respected in the world because he just went on this apology tour and he just kissed everyone's ass. And now Trump is here and he's kicking ass and taking names and he's putting money into the military. Is that just like the opposite of how you and most of your friends would look at it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, because again, going back to it, what you see as kicking ass and taking names is to me just pushing everything back by 40 years politically.
Right. Like, but then when, I'm sorry, but then you and your friends see North Korea and, you know, Rocket Man's talking about launching stuff and we have no military to fight back.
But we don't have no military.
We don't have what we, I mean, and I guess the other part too is the world is filled with bad people. A lot of and you could say Trump's a bad person. That's fine too. But the whole power scheme to me is that I think we're in a situation. It's kind of a dog eat dog. That if somebody can look at us and they realize, okay, we got two more soldiers than they do, or we can overcome them. Man, what a great country! And I'm not saying we're going to be run over within days or anything. But it just seems that if you don't set yourself up in a position where you can defend yourself across the board, including tariffs and countries and years gone by, what we've done and how we've got hurt. And going back to what Dave said, I think with Obama, it almost seemed like it was 8 years of apologizing, saying, we don't have to be the number one country in the world. And we're sorry if we're coming on too strong. I in the world today, I don't think that's realistic because I think other countries, if they had that opportunity, would jump at it.
Well, I think everybody is going to take advantage of you if you show that you're a little bit weak. Oh, yeah. What I like about what's been going on lately is it, and what he ran on was, we are taking America first. It's not, we're not ignoring everybody else, but let's look to our own interests first and then help everybody else.
And I have nothing against that, but I don't feel like it's being gone about in the correct ways. You know,
sure.
I think it's, if Obama was, in my opinion, a step forward, Trump's two steps back, and it's the exact opposite to you guys.
So, yeah. Whether, Nick, you have a name or just build them for me, who would you run against Trump in 2020? Who would you like to see? And I'll tell you that if I were a paid Democrat strategist, I would run someone very mild. Yeah. I would not run the progressive Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I would run someone who moderates could go, well, I don't love everything about this person, man or woman, but Trump's insane, so right. I'm going to go with this person. How about you?
So what I'd really like, tall, kind of an Ethan Hawke chin. no, I really think Biden should make a run for it, and I know that he's said he hasn't, but he is, I think, because, as much as I can say I'm a progressive and I lean left and, Bernie Sanders, like, I don't, it's too much. Mm. You're kind of a tryhard there. But a guy like Joe Biden, who has the demeanor, the exact opposite demeanor of Trump, the, hey, let's sit down and talk about this.
So like a 60-year-old Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even, what is he, 90? I mean.
He's definitely 70.
But if he were like Joe, fighting Joe Biden of his middle age, that'd be perfect for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think if the Democrats have any chance whatsoever, it's going to have to be somebody that comes out of nowhere like Obama did. You know, a one-term senator.
Who's not tainted.
A young person who can speak to a younger generation, who's got some pizzazz.
The Kennedy type. Yeah.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect idea. But that can speak to the younger generation and love the camera. And all of a sudden, wow, look at this guy, and he's got energy, and he's speaking right to me.
Yeah.
A Joe Biden is not going to get the 20-somethings excited.
See, I don't think that we need that much excitement, though. I don't think, and you and I have talked about this, I really feel like, especially with the whole narrative of, all these kids who are in high school and are now being thrust into the political realm way faster than anybody, any generation before them has, a lot of these kids are turning 18 before the election. I really feel like, and not just because of that, I'm not going to put that in my pocket as a blue chip, okay, we're going to win because of newly minted 18-year-olds, but I really do feel like Trump and this administration and the side of America that it has brought out has scared us pretty bad. It's pretty spooky stuff.
So Nick, you said that the week after the election at Mizzou, You and most of the people at Mizzou were like in a funk, in a daze.
Oh, yeah.
You were sad. If he wins in 2020, let's just say it's against Biden, do you envision being, okay, well, here we go again, or is it even more devastating?
I think it's more devastating because I feel like outside of what barriers he's broken down, good or bad, at least, you know, we're seeing, like, with the whole child detainment thing, everybody on Facebook, everybody that I talked to about it, everybody's united by it. And there is kind of a sense, at least to me, of people saying, hey, we're all friends in this. We all know that this is not okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to assume that Mark and Matt, you would probably vote for Trump again, mm-hmm. assuming that yes. it was someone really far left.
Mark.
To what degree are you nervous about that? I mean, we have a lifetime until 2020. But assuming things are about the same, Trump doesn't do anything fantastic, doesn't do anything especially stupid, we're right where we are. How worried are you about a Democrat coming in and taking it?
I think it kind of goes back to the Obama thing, especially the first time when the young people came out to vote for him. And then this last election, they weren't voting for Hillary. They might have really, everybody was holding their nose. But if you get, and I think Matt kind of hit it a little bit, is that as a Democrat, a young Democrat, you need somebody that's got a little bit of flash.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to attract. You've got to get that young vote out. You talked about the 18.
More flash than Hillary Clinton?
I don't know if that's possible. More pantsuits.
Well, yes. It breaks my heart that you had to ask me that question today, because I think the perfect candidate, Coco the monkey, yeah. Yeah. lost.
Yeah. We just
it's
lost.
Kind of sad, the worst time.
Sad yeah. irony.
Could sign their first, you know, something.
What's he saying? It's just all about bananas.
It's the State of the Union. It's being signed by
at
a
least
monkey.
He throws less no poop than Hillary terrorists. Did.
Oh, no.
I think as it is, if it happened and it was Biden, I think it would be a Mondale landslide. I think that he would just be crushed. I think the Democrats really need to bring in new blood, need to show somebody new yeah. with a new way of looking at things. Because even Biden is a little bit tainted by the whole Hillary thing, by what went on with Obama's administration, with all this FBI stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff's going to come back up. And
I feel like 2020 is going to be so fascinating, because I really do feel like I couldn't tell you which side has 51%. To me, it's 50-50 on energy and passion. Mm-hmm. That there's as much love for Trump the man, not just Republicans, but that man has so much passion behind mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's equaled by the passion of hatred for him.
Right.
And I really think it's that close.
Right. And I think that's what you brought up, a good point. In 2020, a moderate. Somebody.
Third party?
Oh, yeah.
Does a third party throw this whole thing, possibly?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not
no.
going to happen.
Trump wins. If there's a good, charming third party candidate, yeah. Trump wins again.
Yeah. We had our best chance back in 2016, although the candidate wouldn't.
I wouldn't be surprised if they orchestrated that.
No.
I mean, I don't know that that's true.
Yeah.
But I'll take your word for it. That's the first thing I'm going to do.
Yep.
Put a good, attractive third-party libertarian out there.
Yep. Split the vote. Yep. It's not a bad idea.
Although it's really dangerous, because it could really go either way.
Man, I don't know. I said, I don't think the Democrats or Republicans will ever allow a third party in. I mean, they'll join forces before they allow a third party to get
any kind
of traction.
Think about it. Hillary was possibly the worst candidate in recent memory, and she still won the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get, assuming it's going to be a more popular candidate than Hillary Clinton, they're coming off an election where the Democrats won the popular vote. And I know that doesn't matter, that
right.
dollar gets a cup of coffee, but still, a couple yeah. states go different ways.
Well, that's a great point. You got to really look at this as an electoral college vote.
Absolutely.
I mean, what has any Democrat done so far to win back Michigan or Wisconsin or yeah. Minnesota?
Ohio,
or Florida,
Pennsylvania, or get Ohio, into those. Yeah.
All these steel places, the tariffs are going to win Pennsylvania and Ohio, because now the steel mills are opening back up.
True.
It's happening here in Illinois.
Granite City?
Granite yeah. City is booming now. 800 new jobs yeah. because now all of a sudden the plant that's been closed for 3 years
I hear
is
Granite
open.
City is almost the new Hartford. So it's inside Jim.
Yeah.
I'll tell you though, let me fall on my sword. Here's where I come from. The tariffs and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of lost on me. I feel like it's third level chess and I'm playing checkers. What I do care about is my 401k. And so when the stock market goes down, I sort of don't care for winning the long-term tariff battle. I care about Dave's 401k. And I think there are a lot of voters like that, that love Trump, they believe in Trump, and when he says, hey, it's going to be fine in the long run, they're like, yeah, but we just went down again. Mm-hmm. I just lost another 2% of my 401k. Yeah. All right, we need to do this again with this exact lineup. Maybe not Mark. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Mark. Quick break. Right. Thanks. Back, DGS.